For the second feature this week, we join Derek James on a journey into the dangerous underworld of the 19th century with a Norfolk author where we meet, among others, a son of a former Norwich mayor, sheriff and alderman, who turned into a brutal murderer known across the land. The feature is read by James Churchill.
Author delves into the dark past of city's infamous murderer. He was one of the most infamous killers in the country, and a wax effigy of John Thurtle was displayed in Madame Tussaud's Chamber of Horrors, well into the 20th century. Such was the horrific nature of his crime. The gruesome and fascinating story of this Norwich man from a posh background seems to have been lost in the midst of time, but it is told in all its gory detail in a fascinating new book by a former UEA lecturer turned author Stephen Carver in the 19th century underworld. Stephen has certainly done his homework and has produced a brilliant offering which lifts the lid on a dark part of our history, which is all too often forgotten about. We enter a world where children were worth more dead than alive, and the Thames held more bodies than the Ganges. This is a raw, compelling, and at times extremely upsetting look at the way we were a couple of hundred years ago, and Stephen has pulled no punches. Vicious criminals, sickening poverty, drugs, pornography, and prostitution. Urchins with haunted eyes, ruthless and vicious men, and the broken remnants of once fine girls. Welcome to the 19th century underworld. So why write this book? I used to teach this subject at university, and I always wanted to write a book about it, said Stephen of New Cossey. My interest in the subject goes back to childhood, most notably the discovery of a family collection of the Illustrated Police News that probably came from my maternal grandmother, and which were compelling and utterly terrifying. My grandparents were all born in the late 19th century as well, and at family gatherings in the early 70s, older relatives loved to relate lurid tales of terror, a muddle of true crime, gothic stories and old movies. When you're a little kid, this stuff sticks with you, added Stephen. He was approached by Jonathan Wright at publishers Pen and Sword, who had read his literature and history blog, and wanted him to write a book. The idea was for me to stop being so academic and to write something that was scholarly but accessible. I'm a literary historian, so I'm very interested in writers who depicted the urban underworld, from journalists, novelists, and social explorers to the forgotten purveyors of penny dreadful, he said. Opening the pages of this book, Stephen takes on a journey from the Regency to the late Victorian eras, framed by two seismic crimes: the Radcliffe Highway murders of 1811 and the Whitechapel killings of 1888, starting with the formation of the modern police force. Stephen takes us on a rough-and-tumble rollercoaster ride through the whole of the 19th century, ending up with an exploration of Jack the Ripper as a gothic icon and a continuing media event which takes a fresh take on the much-covered subject. For anyone interested in a walk on the wild side, this is a book which must be read by such a talented author. But just who was John Thurtle, and why was he hanged? John was the son of Thomas Thurtle, a prosperous merchant and leading local politician, serving as both sheriff and mayor, who lived at Harford Hall on the outskirts of the city. He was described as a tough nut, and so was his son. An ex-marine and a hard man who lived life in the fast lane, he headed off to London and was a typical member of the fancy, the prize ring involved in fights and various dodgy deals. But Thurtle was in trouble. Gambling debts were mounting, and when the family Bomazine warehouse burnt down under suspicious circumstances, the insurers were not disposed to meet the claim. He moved from illegal boxing matches to robbery and murder. Thurtle set his sights on William Weir, a solicitor at Lyons Inn, a dodgy inn of chancery. Enlisting the help of two bankrupts well known in the fancy, Joseph Hunt and William Probert, Thurtle lured Weir out of London to spend a weekend playing cards at Jill's Hill in Radlett. It was assumed Weir would be carrying a large stake, and the plan was to waylay his carriage. In the event, Thurtle ended up shooting Weir in the face with a cheap pair of muff pistols. But the wound was not fatal, and Weir made a run for it. Thurtle chased him down and used a pistol for a club, cutting his throat with a penknife for good measure. The accomplices met at Probert's cottage and divided up Weir's money and possessions, £15, a gold watch and a few coins, dumping the body in a pond on the property, writes Stephen. 5 days later, the trio were arrested. Probert turned King's evidence and got off, although he was later hanged for horse theft. Hunt was transported as an accessory, while Thurtle went to the gallows. The case attracted enormous publicity, with celebrated journalist Pierce Egan interviewing Thurtle in Hartford jail. The trial was covered in depth by the press, much of the interest generated not just by the sheer brutality of the crime, but by the murky sporting underworld from which the main players came from. Large crowds gathered to watch the man from Norwich hang outside Hartford jail in January of 1824, and his body was later dissected. Children sang an eerie little rhyme on the subject that went, "His throat they cut from ear to ear, his brains they punched him. His name was Mr. William Weir, what lived in Lion's Inn." The 19th Century Underworld, Crime, Controversy and Corruption by Stephen Carver is published by Pen and Sword, www.pen-and-sword.co.uk, and is in the shops now at £19.99.